We're going to run on to see what the end is going to be. If it means going through the fire, we're going to run on to see what the outcome of this situation is going to be. You know, life is filled with twists and turns. And sometimes our life is like, I don't know if anybody here has, you know, I went to school in Colorado, and oftentimes I would come back to Pittsburgh and we would drive. And the part of the drive that I would hate the most, not that I have anything against these states, now don't get me wrong, but the part of the drive I used to hate coming back from Colorado to Pennsylvania was Nebraska and Kansas. Because all you saw was nothing for miles and miles and miles but cornfields.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Run On to See What the End is Going to Be. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Run On to See What the End is Going to Be.
With a certain boldness in our life, we don't need to face the unknown timidly. I'm afraid. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm so afraid. You know, we need to be, and I'm not a Star Trek fan, and I never really watched Star Trek, but we need to say, these are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission is to seek new worlds and new civilizations, to go boldly where no man has ever gone. That needs to be our philosophy when it comes to the unknown. We need not shrink back. We need, you know, some folk are so fearful about what's going on that they go lock themselves up and isolate themselves. But let me tell you this, that even if you go lock yourself up and hide away, the devil got a way of slipping through the keyhole. You know, he can still get in there and get to you. And so when you're facing unknown situations, you need to face them with boldness. You don't need to shrink back. You don't need to fear. And you know, I see so many Christians. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the end is going to be. I'm kind of fearful. Now let me say this, because I had the chance to minister to scores of people every week who are hurting and who are facing the unknown. And I want to say this, that your unknown situation is real to you. That your unknown situation should cause you some concern. That your unknown situation might cause you to have some thoughts of doubt and apprehension. I understand that. But after you filter it all through, just come out on the other side saying, okay, God, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, that's being real. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the end of this situation is going to be. But God, I'm going to go through it. You know, I'm not going to go sit in a corner somewhere. I'm not going to go rest on a shelf somewhere. God, I'm going to go through this thing. With your help, I'm going to go through it boldly. I'm going to pursue through. I'm going to press through this situation. Because I don't know what the end is going to be. But you know, God, and I'm going through boldly. Running to see what the end is going to be means facing the unknown. Secondly, running to see what the end is going to be means pressing through the fire. Look at verses 19 through 23 of Daniel chapter 3. It means pressing through the fire. Verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So it says the form of his visage. That means that, you know, this brother went from one of, you know, just saying, okay, fellas, what are we going to do here now? To one of, now this guy got hot, man. And you could see the expression on his face. He got mad. You know, my wife tells me all the time. She said, Bill, she said, I can tell when you're mad. You can't hide it from me. She said, because your nose starts to get a little bit bigger. And she said, I can, you can tell me what you want to tell me, but I know when you're mad. I said, man, she got me. but here the king, you know, there was no doubt in anybody's mind as to the fact that he had got a little upset now. He was angry. His visage was formed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. Seven times, God's perfect number. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their stockings, and their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The fire killed them. That these guys that threw them in. The fire jumped out and killed them. It was so hot. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. See, pressing on, running on to see what the end is going to be, sometimes means that you got to press through the fire. It means that you're going to be in the fire. Now, you know what? There are two things that can happen while you're in the fire. All right, I want you to hear me now. We all will have fires in our life. One day somebody going to knock on your door with some bad news, whatever it might be. Might be the doctor, might be the undertaker, might be the policeman. But I guarantee you that if you live long enough, if you haven't experienced it already, that somebody is going to with some bad news. And you're going to be in the fire. You're going to find yourself in the fire. And when you get in the fire, there's one or two things that can happen. And this is true. Just in looking at fires, either you're going to burn up or you're going to burn off. What do I mean? In the fire, either you're going to burn up, you're going to be consumed by your problem, and it's going to do you in, or you're going to go forth and you're going to burn off some impurities in that fire. You see, if you have a paper life, if your life is centered around gossip, if your life is centered around sensuality, if your life is centered around carnalness, temptation, if your life is centered around desiring things that are not wholesome for you spiritually, then I tell you what, as soon as the fire hits your life, you're going to burn up. Why? Because you made a paper. You know, you're a paper Christian. And what happens with paper when it hits the fire? It burns up. And so many Christians, you wonder why when they go through difficult situations that they buckle under. And the reason that many buckle under is because their life is made of paper. Now, I just want to say, you know, over this past year, you know, like I said, I've done over some 30 funerals. You know, in the last year, all right? Now, there have been some people in this church that have been touched by death more than once. And you look at them. And these are people that should be buckling under. These are people that should be going to pieces. And I'm not saying that they don't have their times when they're hurting. I'm not saying that they don't have their quiet time when the pain is overwhelming. I'm not saying that. But somehow, they find a way. Keep pressing on. They find a way to keep moving on. Why is it? Because their life is not made of paper. They're not a paper Christian, but they're a Christian that has been taken to the fire, and they are made of gold. You know what happens to gold when it hits the fire? It is purified. Job said, "The Lord knows the way that I take." What's going on in your life, Job? Well, I done lost all my possessions. All my kids have been killed. And now, you know, I got the sickness in my body. I got sores all over my body. I can't sleep at night. I have nightmares. And even my wife, she don't even want to come near me because my breath stinks. So, you know, I got all these problems. All these problems. You know, that was one of Job's problems was halitosis. It definitely says that Job had that problem. All right. So Job had all these problems. But he said, "The Lord knows the way that I take. And when I've been tried in the fire, I'm going to be brought forth like gold." And I want to say that you can't wait till you get in the fire to try to get right. You better be right before the fire comes. You know, folks say, you know, they want to get close to God in the fire. Well, that's good, you know, and you need to turn to God in the fire. But it's a whole lot better when you can be with God before you get to the fire. Because you know that you have the assurance that you're going to be able to stand in the fire. It's that child of God who finds themselves in prayer. That child of God who finds themselves in Bible study, in fellowship with the saints, listening to Christian radio and TV programs and building up their faith and strengthening their faith all along the way. Man, I love to hear people say, well, you know, I heard Charles Stanley today. I love to hear people say, I was listening to John MacArthur this week. You know why? Because that tells me that you're putting gold, that you're building up gold. I love to hear people say that I go to this Bible study or that Bible study. Why? Because you're building gold in your life. Opposed to that person who has no, as Sister Chandra said, the celebration of discipline, who has no disciplines in their life. And they hit the fires and they are consumed because they're made of paper. God is looking for some gold Christians that when you get in the fire, that you're not going to burn up, but you're going to burn off. You're going to burn off some dross and you're going to be more purified when you come through. Running to the end. Running to see what the end is going to be means pressing through the fire. The third thing, running to the end to see what it's going to be means the assurance of God's presence. Look at verse 24 and 25. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spoke and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like, now the King James says, a son of the gods. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar said. He said, it's like a son of the gods. But we know that it was not just a son of the gods. We know that it was the Son of God. This is what you call a Christophany or a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. And so he got in the fire with those who were placed there. And as we think about this, you know, we need to be assured that when we're running on to see what the end is going to be, if we run through a fire, all right, if we're in a fire, that you know, we don't need to look around and wonder who's with us. But we have the assurance that God is in the fire with us. You see, God, he doesn't simply send help, but he comes on in himself. It'd be very easy, you know, for God to say, well, look, you know, Gabriel or Michael, you know, go on down there. But we have the assurance that when we are in the fire, that God will join us in the fire. And because he will join us in the fire, we have security. We know that nothing will happen to us that God does not want to happen. And in the midst of the fire, man, we need to trust God. You know what, man? Whenever I fly, it amazes me sometimes if you fly, especially on them smaller planes that don't go up as high. You know, when you get on the bigger planes, man, you can get above all the clouds and everything. But when you fly on those smaller planes and you go right through those clouds, and not only is it a turbulent ride, but also, man, you're looking out there and you don't see anything but clouds. You look to the right, you look to the left. You don't see anything but clouds. And I'm thinking to myself, man, and then you know, especially when you get on the smaller planes. I hope I don't offend anybody, but, you know, especially when you get on the smaller planes and you look and you see these guys come in to fly, man, they look like my sons, man. You ever notice that? I mean, I don't see, you know, gray-haired guys getting on there, man. I say, these young guys, man, they look like they just started shaving. Get on there. I say, oh, man. But you know what? You know one thing I know? You know one thing that I know? I know that they know more than me. And I know that they know what they're doing. Or otherwise, they wouldn't let them up there. You know, I understand that. And so even in the midst of flying through the clouds, I know that this guy knows what he's doing. You know what? He knows what he's doing. And even though he can't see anything because the clouds are blocking his view, that he got a little screen that's telling him what he needs to do. And as long as he can keep it on course, we're going to get to where we need to go. I just want to say that in the midst of the fire, flames all around, smoke all around, you can't see anybody in the fire. You can't see God sometimes in the fire. But you know what? Just focus on that radar screen and realize that he's there and he's guiding you through the fire, that his presence is guiding you through the fire. And here were these guys. You know, now they were a little bit better off than we are sometimes, because Nebuchadnezzar, he looked in and he could see what was going on. Sometimes we can't see. And we need to just hold on and just say, okay, Lord, I'm in this fire. Lord, I don't know what the end is going to be, but Lord, I'm going to run on and I'm going to trust you. And Lord, I'm not going to be like the guy who was walking with you and he was out in the mountains one day, and he slipped off of the side of the mountain and began to fall, and all of a sudden he reached out and grabbed onto a branch. And God said, let go. And he said, no. And he said, God said, if you trust me, let go. And he said, God, I trust you, but I can't let go. And God said, let go. And he said, I can't. And he held on, and he held on, and he died, frozen to that branch. And the next day, when the sun came up and the people found him frozen to the branch, he was only 6 inches from the ground. God said, let go. And he continued to hold on. And sometimes when we get in the fire, God tells us that he's with us and we should let go and hold on to him, because he knows what's best. He's already charted the course. He's already run the race. He's already traveled the road, and he knows what's at the end. And he says, run on and see what the end is going to be. And then finally, as I conclude this morning, running on to see what the end is going to be means that God will work out what's going on for his glory. That whatever happens when you're in the fire, and you know, man, this is so comforting, and this is so reassuring, that whenever you're in the fire, God is going to work out what's best for you. And you know what? I've been in some fires in my life, and I'm sure all of us have been, that you didn't know what the end was going to be. And you didn't see how any good could come out of that situation. You know, and you might be in a situation right now, and you're saying, God, there's no way that any good can come out of this situation. Well, you run on. You run on and see what the end is going to be. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. There's no secret. God can take you through the fire. Look at verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth from the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, that God had given asbestos suits, and was not a hair of their hair singed, neither was their coats changed, this asbestos suit was so bad, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and have changed the king's words and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language who speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dung heap, because there is no other god that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And so when we run on to see what the end is going to be, sometimes you might be surprised. It might not be as bad as you think it's going to be. Just run on. Just run on. Run on in your marriage. You ready to give it up? You ready to trash it? Keep running on. See what the end is going to be. See how God can turn that thing around. You're running on to your job, and you're getting frustrated and discouraged. You don't know what's going on. Run on. See what the end is going to be. You're dealing with a sickness in your life today. It seems like it's an unbearable sickness, an unbeatable sickness. You know what? Run on and see what the end is going to be. Because in the end, no matter what happens, in the end, God will be glorified. No matter what happens at the end, in the end, God will be glorified. And then the other thing that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt is that in the end, God is going to work all things together for his good. And as I close this morning, I just want to share with you a true story about a pastor who every Sunday evening, they would sing hymns in the church. And then the pastor would stand up and give a very brief message. One evening, he stood up and they sang their songs. And before he gave his message, there was a gentleman in the congregation. And he said, "This is one of my dearest childhood friends. And I would just like for him to come up and say a few words." And this gentleman, elderly gentleman, came up and he shared this story. He said there was a father and son that was sailing off of the Pacific coast. And as they were sailing off the coast, the tides began to get high and a storm came up. And it got so bad that the boat capsized. And the man and his son and his son's friend were on the boat. And the man was near the boat, and his son and his friend were a little ways away. And the man was looking at his son and his friend. And here he was secure because he was able to hold on to the capsized boat. But here were these two young boys that had drifted away. He had one life preserver. And he tried to figure out which one to send it to. And while this man is up here telling this story, there's two boys in the audience looking at the man with intensity, wondering what was going to happen in the story. And the man looked at his son, and he looked at his son's friend. And he was in a dilemma because he didn't know which one to throw the life thing out to. But he had to hurry up and make a decision. And so he said in his mind, he said, "I know my son is saved." And he said, "I know if my son dies, that my son is going to go to be with the Lord. But his friend is not saved. And you know what, God? I'm just going to trust you to work out the best in this situation." And he took the life preserver and he threw it to his son's friend. And he told his son, "I love you, son." And his son went down under, never to be seen again. Didn't even find his body. He went on to say that, you know, there was a God who sent his son to die in our place. And after the service, these two young boys came up and said, "You know what? You know, we think that was a nice story, but we don't really think it was realistic for a father to give up the hopes that he had for his son, you know, in order to save, you know, somebody else." And the man said, "You really don't know what was going on, do you?" He said, "I was trusting God to work out the best." He said, "I was trusting God to work out the best. And I'm here today to tell you that my son's friend is the pastor of this church." And I thought to myself, wow, what a powerful testimony as to the trust of God. That he trusted the fact that his son was saved, a decision that many of us would probably, and to be all in all honesty, we would probably reach out to save our own children. He reached out to save his unsaved son's friend because he knew his son was saved. And God did a work in this unsaved guy's life. And he was pastoring a church leading others to Christ. When we go through the fire, when we're in the midst of the fire, God is going to work out the best for his glory and for our good. And we might not understand all of it, but run on and see what the end is going to be.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Climbing Out of the Hole of Discouragement. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, run on to see what the end is going to be, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Run On to See What the End is Going to Be. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Run On to See What the End is Going to Be. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.